Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Radio Free Virginia. I'm your host, Hank Reardon, and this is episode 20-18, the 18th episode of 2020. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about the economy a little bit. I'm going to talk a lot about crime and police. I'm going to talk about this whole defund the police nonsense. I've got some great audio to share with you from a speech of a New York police officer. And some good news on the homeschool freedom front. So this is pretty good here. And then there's a lawsuit finally moving forward against the governor. About time. Talk about a couple other things. So let's get started.
Is it too much to ask that we fulfill these obligations of citizenship? If we think so, we should read again the history of the founding of this nation and consider the hardships of the people who made possible our freedom. They felt that no challenge was too great if freedom was at stake. That spirit carried them on. It created for us the foundation of our great heritage. We have seen it flare up and burn brightly in every national emergency, on the battlefields and at home. The socialists, the communists, and their followers would like to see the American spirit extinguished. If each of us will rise to the occasion, if every citizen, young and old, will accept the challenge of his citizenship, then the socialist and communist and their followers will not prevail, and America will go on toward the fulfillment of her great world destiny.
Dr. Clifton L. Gaines Jr. was our instructor. This is a continuing series based on the unique political and economic system which has made America great.
So if you'd like to share this podcast with others, you can share the show notes or the podcast itself by sharing the link at radiofreeva.com, radiofreeva.com as well. You can find this on the Podbean player and many other players, but do me a favor and subscribe. It helps me know how many people are listening on a regular basis and also helps you get updated when there is a new show, which is every week to 2 weeks I'm putting something out. And the more people that listen, the more shows I'll do. But it takes time and effort to put these together. And so I'd like to know that people appreciate it. And if you do appreciate it, if you would help me by maybe supporting the show over at radiofreeva.com, or you could advertise your business on the show. But let's talk about the economy. Speaking of businesses, last week the stock market plunged 1,861 points. 7%. Now, some of you know this because you have stocks. Some of you could care less. But what it means is that there's volatility out there, which we know is the case. But you can't really gauge what is causing any of this, because everything they tell you, well, there's no truth to it. So one of the big selling points or pitches that was like the cause for this, there's concern about a resurge of COVID. Well, I don't know how. How is there a concern for this? Most people know that this is bogus. The only supposed resurge in COVID that could be a problem is for these tyrannical governors like ours, Ralph Northam, where they could come in and say, hey, we're going to lock things down again. And then that would cause the stock market to have concern. But there's no actual science behind any of this. They've been wrong 100% of the time. So don't tell me that it's COVID is the reason the stock market's worried about this. Oh, well, it's because the Fed didn't do this, or it's because unemployment's that. Nothing's really changed. The things that we measure things by haven't changed, surprisingly. But I'll tell you, I'm starting to see some things like inflation. Gas prices are going up for no explainable reason. There's other things that are costing more. So it's something to keep an eye on. Look out for the dreaded economic collapse. Or don't. There's really no way to tell. Truly, I'm being serious. I'm not just kidding. I thought it was falling apart back in 2008. And the stock market dropped down to 6,000. And now it's up to what? Plus 25,000? I mean, come on. There's no way to predict any of this stuff. It's all just darts against the wall. And, oh, look, yeah, sure, that'll work. Let's do that. I think there are genuinely ways you can make money in the stock market if you know what you're doing, but I don't think you can use truth as a measure of anything economic anymore. It's all just fantasy and pixie dust and whatever. I don't know. Let's talk about lawlessness that's running rampant across the United States. We're especially seeing it in the big cities, but it's affecting us all. It's affecting us in little ways, in some places, big ways. There's all this talk about defunding the police and their so-called protests, but they're also known as riots because that's what they are. You do not have the right to protest, by the way. You don't. You do have the right to peaceably assemble and to petition your government for redress of grievances. And in that, you could call that a protest. You can call it whatever you want, but you don't have the right to protest. You sure as heck don't have the right to riot and destroy things. So we're looking at Seattle. Seattle's abandoned a whole chunk of their city. Now the people have taken over it, and they've called it the CHAZ, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, and they're treating it like it's their own country. And they're asking the outside world for help, for freebies. They've got signs up with the things that the poor little people need. You can't go in there without their permission. They're extorting businesses. So they've it took them 24 to 36 hours to turn into Somalia, essentially. So pretty cool, you know. And I wonder how long before Americans just say, I've had enough of this stuff, and we start going to guns. You know, we're just looking up here in Virginia, Richmond. Richmond has been hands-off on these people destroying the city. Hands off. Oh, sure. They're going to go destroy a statue. Hey, now. Hey, stop. Please stop. Don't do that. Wait. It's like Willy Wonka.
Look at me. I'm going to be the first person in the world to be sent by television.
Hey, get away from that thing.
Stop. Don't. Come back.
Help. Police. Murder.
Stop. Don't. What? Stop. Don't. Come back.
Lights, camera, action.
But they're not stopping them. And they can pound their podium at their police briefings all they want and talk about how we're going to stop this destruction of our city. But they clearly do not have any either permission from their communists, city managers, or they don't have the will to actually get the job done. I don't know what it is, but it's one of those two things. Because it's not for lack of equipment that we have spent in the form of Homeland Security grants and all kinds of things, billions if not trillions of dollars to equip these police departments in these big cities to get the job done. And it's not for that. And it's not for the average police officer from wanting to do the job. But somebody is, and they're making very, very sure not to put this out over the airwaves. I don't know if it's going whispered in somebody's ear, but there's no written or audio record of these stand down orders, but they're happening because it's the only explanation. Looking at Richmond, the National Guard has been on the scene basically with a no engagement policy. They put a fence around the Capitol area, and that was that. And there's the National Guard inside the fence. And they're letting these people do whatever the heck they want. Now, when we gun owners, lawful citizens, went up to protest, to peaceably assemble, somewhere between 30 and 60,000 of us went up there. We were the ones put in the fence. So there's the double standard there. So are you people thinking that, hey, we'll just work within the system, right? We'll get our paperwork in order and we'll fill out our paperwork and so we'll do this and we'll make sure we're following the law. Well, what a bunch of suckers we are, aren't we? But I want to talk real quickly about police officers. Because I know that there's probably only it's almost an immeasurable percentage of people that get into police work because they think, I get to put my knee on some guy's neck for 9 minutes and kill him. The number of people that think like that is very, very small. I know some police officers. Now, I have my issues with law enforcement because it's become code enforcement and revenue generation. I have my issues with that, but I don't have a problem with police officers at all. You have to have law and order. You have to, or society breaks down. But I know that police officers don't do that. They don't go in thinking, hey, I want to kill people. They go in and think, I want to help my community. I want to be a part of the solution. You know, I want to work with people. And every day, police officers have interactions with people, husbands who are beating their wives, and they save women from being killed. Gang members that are destroying communities, and they stop that. And now they're not being allowed to do that. And stuff's just running crazy all over the place. And what happens when the police officers go, well, shoot, if I go in and enforce this, if I go over here and engage on this issue that I hear over the radio, I could end up in jail. And the person could end up suing me and my family. So I think I'll take my time before I get over there. Now, myself, I can't stand mediocrity, so I would quit. And I know that there's a lot of officers that are the same way. They'll quit. They'll go do something else. If I find myself saying that's above my pay grade, I go do something else. I know there's a lot of police officers that are the same way. They're not going to keep putting up with this. So either the pendulum's going to completely swing the other way where they go full engagement, which, you know, frankly, I'd be okay with right now. I think these people destroying the statues, you should light them up. Pepper spray, pepper balls, beanbag guns, rubber bullets, the full package, man. Light those suckers up. We're not seeing that. That's not happening. So I want to play you this audio clip from this New York police officer, who's also the one of the union reps. And I can't stand unions. Let me clarify that. I hate unions. And I know it's New York. But I don't have audio from anybody in Virginia saying what this guy's saying, which is what most police officers are thinking. So I'm going to play this guy from New York for you.
Defund the police department. Ask different folks, what's the definition? Get rid of the police? Defund the police? Shift the money around? It's a slogan. It's a slogan during a protest. I admire it because it's open to so many definitions. We went out on the streets to do a job. We went out in the street during this violence. We went out in the street because we knew we had to. City Hall asked us and ordered us to. And the brass put us out there. But then what we found out, there was no plan. There wasn't enough of us. We weren't up planning on stopping the violence. The violence visited us. We have district attorneys from all our counties, from many of our state, saying we will not prosecute criminals who looted, not protested, who looted, who rioted. Our DAs won't prosecute them. But you know what's on the hearts and mind of everybody that has a shield in their hip pocket today? That who the DA did prosecute was a police officer whose boss sent him out there to do a job, was put in a bad situation during a chaotic time. And you know what? Mike Grayhair told me it was going to happen. Everybody walked away from them. There was no longer a boss standing next to him like it was that night. The brass threw them under a bus, not saying it's our fault. We didn't have a plan. We asked them to go out there. The DA's to say, we don't have time to prosecute criminals, but we'll prosecute you. Talk about de-escalation. They're de-escalating their job. They're refusing to do their job. They're asking us to pull back. They're asking us to pull back. They're asking us to walk away from you. They're asking us to abandon our communities. They're asking me to walk away from where I live. They're asking me to walk away from where I work. They're asking us to walk away from the neighborhoods that we brought back. And that's what's happening. And you know what? We don't have a choice. If we put our hands on the criminal, you're going to jail. I'm not being dramatic. That's how bad it is. No one's read the bills. They're following the crowd. What's the joke? I'm the leader. Where's my people? Let me catch up with them. They're legislating by signs in a protest. We have our leadership who think they'll appease the criminals, who think they'll appease the rioters. They think they'll appease our critics. And then when it goes wrong, and a DA says, we're going to lock you up, you should be standing next to them saying, I'm the leader. I sent them out. I should take the hit. I should get locked up. But don't hold your breath. We're not going to see that because they've walked away. I know many times when myself and my fellow union leaders take this microphone, folks think, well, they got to be a little bombastic and they got to be dramatic. I couldn't tell you how more serious I am. A while back, we had a press conference where we turned our flag upside down. I said, we're under distress. They said we're under distress and nobody listens. I don't want the neighborhood I worked in, that I brought back, that we brought back. I don't want it to slide back. Homicides, 5 to 13. Shootings, 40 last week, the highest since 2015. 7 shootings in 4 minutes, 8 shootings in 5 hours in different neighborhoods in our borough. Disconnected, don't be fooled. It's not some gang guy running around town shooting everybody. It's separate incidents. Ask yourself, why do they feel emboldened to do it? Because there's no consequence, there's no cops, and we're held back. We look great in our blue uniforms. We look great when we're standing straight up on the corner. But the message of a soft touch means you look great, but don't get yourself dirty. You look great, but look like a potted plant. Some of the things I'm saying you've all heard before. Those of us that grew up in this city understand what I'm saying. That's the police department we left behind.
Some good stuff there, and you can listen to the entire press conference that they did and hear more of the speech. I trimmed it down a little just for time and to keep everything concise. But you see, they're starting to get fed up, and they should be. It's an outrageous thing that's going on across the country. And so I want to... this next bit should make you laugh a little bit. 911, how can I help you? Yeah, there's 2 armed men trying to break into my home. Oh, wow, that's really a bummer. Do you have a gun? No, I don't. Uh-oh, that's really bad. Well, can you just send some police? No, we can't do that. See, after defunding the officers, we're down to only 1 officer on Tuesdays and Thursdays from noon to 3, but he only does paperwork, and plus it's Friday. What am I supposed to do? They're almost in. Well, you should have seen a flyer posted on the telephone poles in your neighborhood. I didn't see them. What did they say? Well, we've gone to community relations oversight instead of the police. Yes. Well, what am I supposed to do? Well, I'll check the closest community relations advocate. Hold, please.
Feels good to be a gangster. A real gangster type player plays his cards right. A real gangster type player never runs his mouth, because real gangsterized players don't start fights.
Okay, sorry about the wait. It seems as though the closest community relations advocate is just 3 blocks down. I will send her over. Her name is Ethel Jones. I met her on our training, and she's amazing. It may take her a bit, though, since she's 82. She doesn't drive, and she uses a walker to get around. What the heck? John Legend and Jane Fonda told me we should defund the police. But I didn't know it meant that I'd be in danger. Well, if anyone can talk them out of killing you and robbing your home, it's Ethel. Hello? 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 Well, there you have it. That is a picture of what you can expect life to be like without police. For many, many people. Not for some of us who refuse to give up our guns. But still, it will impact all of us if they continue to get what they want. All right, let me move on to some news here. Some interesting stuff that I thought was really good here. The Virginia Supreme Court victory for homeschool freedom. And this is from a Facebook post by a guy named Michael Ferris. This morning, the Virginia Supreme Court issued a unanimous opinion protecting freedom for homeschoolers in the Old Dominion. Kirk and Christian Sosby filed paperwork with the Franklin County Schools giving all the required information. But the school wanted more. It insisted on also receiving copies of the children's birth certificates and proof of residency. Neither of these things are required by state law. The Sosbys were threatened by the school with truancy prosecution if they didn't give in to the district's additional demands. Backed by Homeschool Legal Defense Association, the Sosbys filed suit challenging the legality of the school district's demands. The school district and the trial court relied on a broad state law giving each school district the power to regulate schools. The HSLDA argued that if the school could demand birth certificates by virtue of this claim of power, the public school could enact additional requirements, adding to state law whatever each school district desired. The unanimous decision rejected the school district's claim. It could not require anything more than the items listed by state law, including birth certificates. Even more importantly, the court held that the law giving local school districts the power to make rules was only for public schools. They have no power to make rules regarding homeschooling. And this is a big win. It might seem like a little thing to turn over a copy of a birth certificate. But if you let government make unauthorized decisions over your life and small things, they will be back with increased demands. I'm very proud of Kirk and Kristen for standing up for their rights and insisting that government stay within its bounds. Kirk and Kristen both attended Patrick Henry College. I'm also very, very proud of their lawyer. He also graduated from Patrick Henry College. Patrick Henry declared, "Give me liberty or give me death." In the midst of so many restrictions on liberty, I'm so gratified to see my former students proving that liberty can be successfully defended. So, I wanted to point out a couple things here. That it might seem like a little thing to turn over a copy of a birth certificate, but if you let government make unauthorized decisions over your life in small things, they will be back with increased demands. You see this everywhere. And I call these laws of assent. We assent to the government's demands that, hey, we have to do this, we have to do that, we got to do this, or you know, file this paperwork or do these things. And before you know it, that is, in a sense, a law. Yeah, there's no law that says you have to. There's no law that says you're a taxpayer, but hey, we all pay taxes. There's a lot of laws. The ATF has a lot of regulations. And they're not clear, and a lot of people comply with them. And then before you know it, it's considered a law. I mean, it's not on the books as a law, but it's treated like one. So, very important to push back when you have the opportunity to push back. And I'm going to give you an area you can push back. Look at the census. You've got this long, ridiculous form they want you to fill out. 4, 3, 2, or 1. That is the only thing that they are constitutionally authorized to get. You have to be counted. So I've been counted. You don't need to know how many women or men or kids or black or white or trans or any of the other nonsense that's on that form. They use that information the politicians do, to gerrymander a district. Do not give it to them. Stand your ground and say no. And when the guy comes, so send it in, put four or three or whatever on there and send it in. And when the person knocks on your door, you can say, I have filled out the form. Well, yeah, but we don't, I'm not giving you any other information. Well, by law, we can tell you what, you are free to file charges if you would like to. But I would also recommend you get this on tape, get them on tape threatening you. And let's get that out there. Push back. My goodness. Whatever happened to, especially my generation, Gen X, you know, push back. I know that a lot of the boomers are content to take this kind of stuff, but, you know, push back a little bit. It's ridiculous. But that's a good decision for homeschoolers. I really like this one, too, that it said, even more importantly, the court held that the law giving local school districts the power to make rules was only for public schools. They have no power to make rules regarding homeschooling. Well, I'd imagine that this will probably get appealed by the local school district or the state or somebody, because my goodness, you can't have people homeschooling their own kids without rules, right? I think their big mistake right here was filling out the paperwork with Franklin County Schools. Franklin County, this is interesting. You know, if you remember back, beginning of this year, late into last year, I talked about a story about Franklin County Schools, how they were telling the students, hey, you can't be having flags on your cars and you can't be doing this kind of stuff. Something's going on over in Franklin. You people over there, you better get a handle on your local government. They're kind of losing their minds over there. A couple other interesting things here. I have got a lawsuit. I found out that there is a lawsuit been filed against our tyrannical governor for an overreach of his authority. Months and months more to come, we have been under the boot of this idiot. And he is an idiot. Ralph Northam. And him and other governors like him are doing everything they can to destroy this country. So I'm going to read to you this. This is from, and it's actually interesting because now the Democrats are even starting to push back. They're like, wait a minute. We make the laws here, sir. So this is from Senator Steve Newman. I commend my colleague, Senator Chap Peterson, for his actions today that uphold our United States and Virginia constitutions. It's quite telling for a well-respected elected member of the Democratic Party to break ranks and say, enough is enough. In recent days, there have been a number of elected officials of both parties looking for the proper venue to bring this type of action. I stand by Senator Peterson in his pursuit to end government by executive order. Some Senate Republican members have also been considering avenues to bring similar complaints to federal court. Stay tuned for more information about that. For the last 89 days, Virginia has been operating under a state of emergency declaration entered by the governor. At no time has the governor consulted with the General Assembly on his actions or indicated his intention to call us into a special session to specifically address policies for our businesses and communities in the face of COVID-19. There is a clear separation of powers outlined by the Constitution. The legislative branch makes the laws, and the executive branch enforces those laws. Businesses and families all across the Commonwealth have suffered under the rule of a single individual for the last 3 months. This is unacceptable, and it is my hope that Senator Peterson prevails in his lawsuit so that this governor and all future individuals who hold that office understand the limitations of their power. Well done and well said, sir. So we'll see what happens. You know, here's the question. Where are the Republican lawsuits? A Democrat has filed a lawsuit. Why a Democrat? Why haven't Republicans been filing lawsuits? Republicans need to do their job. They need to smack this little wannabe tyrant down. I don't even say wannabe tyrant. He's being tyrannical. And they need to stop him. This is from Kathy Byron. What now? Sharing my frustration, some who responded to my post about the governor's latest restrictions on opening schools and his rewriting of the rules of sports asked what could be done about it or what I was going to do about it. It might be useful to understand first what cannot be done. Virginia's Constitution and its code places tremendous reliance on elections, making it difficult to overturn their results. Virginia does not have any recall provisions for those elected to state office. I know this is disappointing to many who have demanded we recall the governor. No number of signatures on a petition will bring about a special election to remove a statewide office holder. And that's true, and I've been seeing this. We've seen it. We saw it from day one at Lobby Day, at the big rallies. There were people walking around with these, here, sign a petition to recall the governor. Well, you can't, so good luck. While the Constitution of Virginia does have provisions for impeaching statewide offices, those are markedly similar to the federal requirements. In order for a governor to be impeached, a majority of the House of Delegates must first vote to do so, and two-thirds of the Senate must vote to convict and remove. As Democrats now hold majorities in both houses and Senate, there is no possibility that this governor will ever face impeachment. Therefore, his term ends in 2022. These limitations make it easier to understand why so many legislators like myself oppose amending the Constitution to allow the Virginia governors to serve consecutive terms. With so much authority placed in the executive branch by the Constitution, I would disagree that that is the case, and with the General Assembly limited to meet for only 60 days in even-numbered years and 45 days in odd-numbered years, our gubernatorial elections are extremely consequential. If you're looking to the courts to provide relief, that too is not easy. Successful legal challenges to executive authority are rare and exceedingly expensive. Oh, well, there's all the reason we need not to do it. It costs money. Establishing standing in such suit is customarily limited to those who can demonstrate actual harm. That's why lawsuits that have been heard against the governor's overreaches have been brought by closed businesses and a church. One church, as far as I'm aware, is the only one who's filed in Virginia for that. And standing, if you don't know, is you have to be able to prove, like they said, like she said, that you can demonstrate harm has befallen you in some way, whether it's monetary or physical. Otherwise, you're not the victim. We as individuals, I can't say I'm the victim just as an individual. Well, I could, but it likely wouldn't go anywhere. But let me think here. If 30 or 40 senators signed on to a lawsuit, I would think that that would have some standing. I'm not seeing that happening. General Assembly Republicans have not been sitting idly by as this governor has abused powers of his office. We have been the loudest, most consistent, and sometimes only public voices against his overreaches. I have mostly heard crickets, by the way, mostly crickets. And we have considered and continue to consider every possible action within the limits of the Constitution and Virginia law we can take to attempt to limit his excessive use of authority. I'm not going to keep reading. I will put this in the show notes. I will just read you a quote from Thomas Jefferson. The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is its natural manure. So you can do what you like with that statement. Wanted to also mention, as you've seen, we've seen a lot. It's been a lot colder this week. I was going to say it was a lot drier, but actually it was dry the 2 weeks preceding that. But then it's been dumping some rain the last couple days. So that's good. That's good for the on the food side of things. But the colder temperatures aren't really good. So keep an eye on that and what that means for our food supply. I just started listening to a new podcast. I really can't even review it, but it's by the guys over at Bang Steel. They teach long-range shooting. Very, very good, good instructors. And they know their stuff. And it's the Newberries, Forrest and Dan. Forrest is the son. Dan is the dad. And both of them are very knowledgeable. So I'll place a link to that podcast. You can check that out in the show notes. Just want to say thank you for listening. Encourage you to tell your friends. If you've got a local militia in your area, I suggest you start plugging in and training. And if you don't, what are you waiting for? Oh, well, somebody else I heard is working on a muster. That somebody else is you. Get it done. There's a limited amount of time to do certain things. Maybe you're not the person to lead it once it's going, but I think you're exactly the person needed to get it going. So the song I started with and the song I'll end with is by Nickelback. I'm going to read you these lyrics. Head high, protest line, freedom scribbled on your sign. Headline, New York Times, standing on the edge of a revolution. Hey, hey, just obey. Your secret's safe with the NSA. And God we trust, or the CIA, standing on the edge of a revolution. Yeah, we're standing on the edge of a revolution. No, we won't give up. We won't go away, because we're not about to live in this mass delusion. No, we don't want to hear another word you say, because we know they're all depending on mass confusion. No, we can't turn back. We can't turn away, because it's time we all relied on the last solution. No, we won't lay down and accept this fate, because we're standing on the edge of a revolution. This is Hank Reardon. This is Radio Free Virginia. God bless you all.